right, welcome to Wobble Up a Pod Pod, a journey of two casual Rick and Morty fans doing a deep dive so you don't have to. Finger guns,
I like
everybody's
it.
Favorite thing.
Pow. Wait, who are you?
Oh yeah, my name's Josh.
And I'm Alex.
And today on Wobble Up a Pod Pod, we're going to be reviewing Season 1, Episode 11, entitled Rixie Business.
That's right, and it is the last episode of Season 1. We are wrapping up Season 1 today, and we are very excited about it.
Oh yeah, took some doing, but we got there. Been kind of unsteady ground. We're working on finding a rhythm and a schedule. Beer with Buffy, this is the first place you're going to hear it, is taking a little bit of a break again for the holidays. So it's going to free us up to maybe be a little more regular about our recording schedule.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm down.
Unfortunate for Beer with Buffy listeners, great for us.
True. And I am a Beer with Buffy listener, so I am torn right now.
Very sorry about that. Yeah, we need more time to prep the musical episode. So, and that's all.
Yes, that's coming up.
Yes.
Ah. Okay. Well.
Yes. Time marches ever forward.
I support this time off. Support it.
That one needs to be perfect. We got to get that one right.
Yeah, like if you get it wrong, you might as well just burn everything you've done so far.
Right. Exactly. See. That's what I'm saying. So, welcome to Wobble Up a Pod Pod. I know I already said that. You can expect a scene-by-scene recap, a little bit of analysis, and so we'll talk about some character lore, do some lore tracking and fan theories.
Good stuff.
You want to give us a recap of the episode real quick? Just a quick synopsis?
Joshua! Just kidding. Not the mom synopsis. I mean, this one's
You're not my mother.
calm down.
I mean, there's always role play.
Stop. No, there is not. So, I don't know. This is what's happening? Oh, there's okay, so Beth and Jerry go on to this Titanic cruise thing, and they leave the kids in charge with Rick, and of course they end up just doing this bonkers party, intergalactic, interdimensional, but also classic teenage summer's friends party, and of course it gets out of control, and Morty is very uptight about the whole thing. And then it ends kind of cool with a time freeze. Is that, did I do it?
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of a cliffhanger on the end there.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Oh, and we I like that we meet some cool characters, a bunch of new
Boy,
characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So strap in, not strap on.
Why not? Well, both?
I mean,
why not?
If you want to.
I'm strapped on right now.
Okay. I can't confirm or deny because I can't see your bottom half.
I just keep a strap on my chair so when I sit down, it's just pure
Please
ecstasy.
Please don't.
Oh, my.
Oh. Okay, can we talk about this title?
Please. Yeah, sure. What's there to talk about?
So, Rixie Business, it's obviously a reference to Risky Business, which it sounds very familiar to me, but I really can't be. Is it a movie from the 90s?
It's a classic Tom Cruise movie. I want to say it's from the 80s. I knew you were going to ask, and I should have looked it up.
We've been doing this for 11 episodes and
I know, right?
Like
yeah, I was right. 1983 American teen sex comedy film written and directed by, I don't know, some asshole. And it's got Tom Cruise in it. that quintessential scene that everybody makes fun of where somebody gets the day at home alone and, not
Oh,
home
the
alone
guy that though. Slides
Slides
the
on the wooden floor, and he's playing the the broom guitar, and he's in his boxers.
Yeah,
that's Risky Business.
Yes. Okay, so that's all I know about it.
That's all I know about it. That's all you need to know.
That's, I guess so. Okay, great. Oh, okay. Now I see the link to the episode.
Yeah, that movie may or may not be a story about a guy having a party because his parents left the house.
Exactly.
It would make a lot of sense.
Period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it works out that, you know, it's really easy to transpose Risk to Rick.
It was perfect.
Not that the writers care when it comes to naming these episodes. They'll shoehorn Rick and Morty into any word they want to.
Is it an art or just laziness? Who knows?
Who knows? Why not both? Why not?
Who knows? Probably both.
That's my headcanon. Yeah, let's dive right in.
Okay.
What is my purpose?
You pass butter.
Oh my god.
Glenn's bleeding to death.
I am totally fine.
The squirrel's Morty.
Oh my god.
Oh jeez, I'm so down with my parents' divorce dog.
What is my purpose? Purpose.
If God exists, it's f***ing me.
You love this. I call it Cheerio.
I'm sorry, I'm not a classic maternal archetype.
So we cold open on the Smith House driveway. We've got Summer and Rick and Morty are saying goodbye to Beth and Jerry, who are on their way to go on a Titanic movie-themed getaway. They can't even really call it a cruise. They have to call it a getaway because it's really more of an extended theme park ride than a cruise.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's correct.
Beth is super sarcastic about having fun on this one-day vacation they're going on. Jerry is understandably annoyed that she's not into it when he wants to be romantic. Beth makes it clear that Rick is being left responsible for the kids and the house. And Rick is, of course, very dismissive of this, especially considering he has apparently some synthetic laser eels oxidizing in the garage. Which, as we all know, is a matter of some urgency.
You don't just leave your synthetic laser eels oxidizing without any supervision.
Right, exactly.
Hello?
You don't just leave a pot of water to boil on the stove. You wouldn't just abandon your synthetic laser eels while they're oxidizing. Come on.
Just common sense.
Life 101. You learn this shit in, third grade. Come on. Beth further threatens that any damage to the house or the kids, yes, in that order, she says the house first.
That's true.
There will be no more adventures with Morty. Morty notes that it's definitely serious since Beth is saying it and not Jerry, to which Jerry experiences a bit of a pang of insecurity. He never does that. And actually, surprisingly, this is the most insecure moment he has this entire episode.
That's true.
He really doesn't spend the episode being super insecure. It's actually a pretty good episode for Jerry. He's definitely a victim, but that's different.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, actually a victim and not just self-victimizing like he normally does.
True. Yeah.
So let's not downplay that. So Rick promises everything will be fine and accepts Beth's terms for the consequences. He compares this to an old song by Tiny Rogerts. You know, the one, Blomp Blomp A Noop A Noop Noop Noop.
Right.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, that one. So nobody bites on Rick's suggestion of this weird song, and he tells them to fuck off, and they do. Jerry, of course, is an idiot and goes out of his way to look more in charge than he probably otherwise would have if his pride hadn't been challenged. He actually stops the car a second time as he's pulling out to be like, not one thing out of place. It's like, okay, shut up, Jerry.
Classic Jerry. Not a single thing. Okay.
So at the moment the car is...
As they drive away... Yeah.
Yeah, the second it's out of view, his synthetic laser eels just burst out of the garage door, leaving a gaping hole, and it falls over into the driveway with them in the hole, which is, you know, exactly what happened to me that one time that I learned the hard way not to leave my synthetic laser eels unsupervised.
Without supervision. Yeah. The way they just, squiggled away. I don't know why it got me.
They're just like, well, time to go.
They're like... Yeah.
Nobody bats an eye. Not one of them. Summer is like, well, carpe diem, and fuck it, I'm having a party. Past the point of no return.
Past the point of no return.
So there we go. That's,
I guess so.
That's a good foundation for the plot of this episode opening sequence.
Opening credits.
Oh shit. Hey, it's episode 11 and I think we totally forgot about, well, we're going to have to do a little special episode. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be like a little extra special. Yeah, we'll do
that.
There
we go. Okay, good plan.
Okay, so then after the credits, we're in the Smith kitchen. Summer's on the phone with a friend, asking her to bring her mom's vodka to the party. Morty is like trying to convince Summer not to have the party. And Morty's like, Rick, tell Summer that she can't have the party. Rick is like, Summer, you can't have the party because I'm having a party, bitch.
Hello.
And then, this is when Summer tries to mock Rick and he's like, what? You're having a party? Like, are you bringing your friends, your Glip Glop friends? And Rick is like, whoa, Glip Glop? You're lucky a Traflorkian doesn't hear you say that. It's like the N word and the C word. Had a baby and it was raised by all the bad words for Jews.
That's
Jews?
Pretty bad. Jews. Yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
Which is the C word? Is it cunt?
Cunt.
Yes. Okay, that's yeah.
Which I think people have been getting really desensitized to that word again. It's a very casual word in like the UK. They drop it all the time.
It
they
is.
Say cunt like we say bitch.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, hey bitch, what's up? They're just over there cunt 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 cunt. Those weird fucking limeys, I tell you.
Then Morty wants all of them to just hang out and chill, but Summer is like, no, like, this is my chance to get a footing with the cool kids. Rick mocks Summer about this, and so Summer's like, well, then why do you party? And then Rick is like, well, I party to get riggedy riggedy wrecked, son, which is wise, question mark.
Wise,
I guess. That's, I mean, okay. In my opinion, that's a reason to party for frat boys and, I guess, alcoholic grandpas.
Right. Yeah. Oh, but Summer learns a lesson real hard by the end of this episode that's definitely the way to go. Yeah, you just want to get fucked up to cover up your emotions. Mm-hmm. That's definitely the lesson she should have learned. It's very important. This is a very emotionally healthy show. And we should model all of our lives after it. Just so you know.
All the time.
All of the time. I had a quote of the day here. Summer's like, yeah, well, just keep your sci-fi friends away from my awesome friends. Rick's like, yeah, and you keep your awesome friends away from my canapes. As he drops one more little piece onto one of them. As Rick carefully dresses a tray of party snacks one tiny piece at a time. Yeah, I don't know why this cracks me up so hard. But also, I had no idea what a canapé was until this. I'd never heard the term.
So you've never had a canapé?
I'm sure I've had plenty of canapés. It's actually a very generic term for a type of, for just a party snack that is...
Yeah, it's like a little baby party snack.
Yeah,
right?
Generically some type of bread, like a cracker or toast with a savory spread and meat or vegetable. Or it's basically whatever the fuck you want it to be, and you serve it at a party, and there's a tray full of them. More specific definitions if you really want to split hairs and mince words. The way he's just so into just...
He's very meticulous. Yeah.
Fucking loved it.
I love it.
So we cut to Beth and Jerry's Titanic getaway. Jerry and Beth are being shown onto the ship. And it looks like it's probably not a full-scale replica of the Titanic, but it's fucking big. And their guide explains that the ship uses hydraulics and a rail system to simulate a controlled sink into the water. And of course, he proclaims that the ship is unsinkable. Of course, you know, tempting the fate of the very irony that caused the actual Titanic to sink. But in this case, it is satirically reversed. How clever. Yes.
Ha ha.
Ha ha. Ha ha ha. That's good satire. Yeah. So Beth wants to skip the King of the World bit. Jerry corrects her that when Jack is at the bow with Rose, she says, I'm flying. And the other bit, the King of the World bit, was with Jack and Fabrizio, his friend. I personally don't remember too well, so I'll take Jerry's word for it.
Titanic is my favorite movie, so
really
I can deny, confirm anything and everything you need to. I know this movie front and back.
So was Fabrizio didn't actually get on the ship, right?
No, yes, he did.
But after it gets moving?
Yeah. Yeah, Fabrizio gets on the ship with what's his name?
With Jack.
With Jack, thank you. Mm-hmm. I just claim to know this movie. and yeah, they like hang around and they're just like la la la. And they meet their other friend, the Irish guy. And then they do the bit of I'm the king of the world. It's him and Fabrizio. Very gay, by the way.
Okay, that's fine.
Little gay. And then Fabrizio does die tragically, squashed by one of the, like, I don't know what the name of the, but one of those, you know how the ship is like this and it has like four big like cylinder things.
Where, oh,
like,
the, yeah, the big the smokestacks, I think.
Yeah, so one of those like drops into Fabrizio and just like squashes him.
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's how he dies. Yeah,
tragically. Sucks to be Fabrizio.
Sucks okay, well, to be Fabrizio.
So yeah, I wasn't about to go back and watch the movie just for this episode, but I'll take your word for it. So Beth grabs a nearby cleaning lady and says, here, take her. And she's like, oh, no, no, I can't. I'll get in trouble. And they're like, oh, well, I won't tell if you don't. And she's excited mm-hmm. because she's worked here for years and never got to participate before. Honestly, if I worked at a theme park that long and never got to participate, I think the novelty would have long since worn off.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because tourists are the worst, and the only thing worse than tourists is theme parks, in my opinion. Oh, and also just fuck fun. Nobody likes having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you? Just work and work and work some more until you die.
That's how you do it. That's the only mm-hmm. way that you can go to heaven. Now you know.
If you don't want to go to heaven, then too bad.
Exactly. Yep. Well,
okay.
You're just a little hedonist and you like your sin too much. So back at the Smith house.
Tammy says, I love watching Bukkake.
Yes. But I don't know if I would ever actually do it. I think she would do it.
I mean, like, I don't know if I personally would ever do it, but this is just kind of like a pan. They're like panning through a party. And when we like overhear this conversation, then we stop at the door and Brad gets there. Like, Summer opens the door. It's Brad, which mm-hmm. I guess he's like the popular, cool jock boy from school.
That's right.
When Brad arrives, like, Tammy's friend is like, or Tammy's like, oh my god, Brad's here, like, make my hair look drunk. And so she like ruffles her hair, and then Brad passes by and he's like, oh my god, guys, like, Tammy's drunk, oh fuck yeah.
And at first I was like, why does she care? He's with Jessica. But I guess that, you know, same reason Summer cares, you know, cred, mm-hmm. street cred with the cool kids, I guess.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we see another ding dong on the door. Rick opens the door and it's Bird Person.
Hey.
I love Bird Person.
Yeah, our very first introduction to him ever.
Yes. First time we see Bird Person. Let me tell you why I love Bird Person. First of all, it's Bird Person, not Bird Man. So he's technically non-binary. Okay. Second of all, he is Rick's best friend. We learn later. We don't know yet, but he is Rick's best friend and they've like gone through shit together. Third of all, I love how he talks, like, so monotonous. I don't know. It's funny to me.
He's a bit monotone.
Yeah. Monotone and kind of like proper words and everything. And yeah, that's why I love Bird Person. And we also have some great Bird Person music, transitional music in this podcast. It's one of my favorites. So... yay.
Right? Yeah, I really like that music. He's kind of the Spock to Rick's...
yeah.
Kirk.
Whatever his name.
Captain Kirk.
Right.
Yeah, he's a very Spock-like character. If Spock were a bird and had a cloaca instead of a penis. Not that we would know.
just saying. Anyways, Rick welcomes Bird Person. He's stoked that he's there. And he immediately is like, oh, we're going to get you late, Bird Person. Like, he just wants... Or, wait, he calls him Purse. I love that nickname.
What up, Purse Person?
Purse. I love it.
It has been a very challenging mating season.
Yeah, it has. So Rick is like, don't worry, we'll get you laid.
yeah, no problem, Bird Person. Here's a party full of a bunch of high schoolers. Get your fuck on, bro. Woo!
Jesus Christ. Yeah, good point.
Nothing problematic there.
Yep. Then what happens? Morty wonders how many people Rick invited, and Rick is like, people? Six?
Strictly speaking, six.
Yeah, technically he's correct, because human people, only six. But he invited a shit ton of aliens and creatures and monsters and just from other dimensions.
At least a dozen or so Travlorkians.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And then he opens the door and, like, this flying saucer lands, depositing a bunch of little glip-glops.
What up, my glip-glops?
Yeah, but wasn't glip-glop, like, a really bad word?
Oh, yeah.
But also, this entire species of little glip-glops, I guess.
Yes, but, I mean, you're familiar with... the concept of boy, this is a tough one to explain from a white man's perspective to anyone, really.
Right. You mean like about the
if you're part of them that
right.
gives you
because it's reclaimed
ability to yes, because it's reclaimed and then you can use that word with impunity. What's his name? Dave Chappelle makes a really good joke about that. They're like, because he's like, so why can't I say the F word, but I can say the N word? And they're like, well,
because you're not
gay. And he says,
yeah,
well, I'm not an N word either.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it. Anyway,
my brain.
So moving along.
Yeah.
It's like they're kind of, we're done. Moving on.
Jesus Christ. Woo! I'm trying to move on here. So after the glee clubs arrive, we cut to later that night outside the house. A couple of Ricks from the council portal in. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did catch that. The pointy one and one of the swirly ones. I forget.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
And then there's a couple of Cyclops. We got a Froopy Doop and a Schmoopy Doop. Oof. I mean, you never invite them to the same party. Don't do that.
Because one's eating the other one. So we don't want that. Oh, you know who else is there? Buttface guy.
Yeah. He's definitely just some sort of buttface alien. Like his eye is his butthole. His face is the cheeks. I don't remember if he was wearing a hat or anything.
No, he has this, like, weird horns that look like baby toys. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody was awfully high when they made that character. Somebody was awfully high when they made this episode.
So, but Morty is, like, trying to clean up, and he's, like, very stressed about it, right?
I wanted to throw out there, so the dude that says, oof, that's why you never invite a Schmoopy Doop and a Froopy Doop to the same party. This is a big blob creature who's kind of a snowman shape. But you can see that he has inside of him a laptop, a pair of scissors, a comb, a fork, a set of car keys, a spoon, a jar, a high heel shoe, and last but not least, a dildo.
Wait, what? I missed the dildo.
It's definitely a dildo. It was on the lower left-hand side. Check it out. Jesus. Definitely a dildo.
Somebody left a dildo out and about, and he just, like, walked through it and just...
It had a butt tickler on it. There was nothing else it could have been. Either that or it's a lot of other things, or it's a very specific other thing, and I just have a very dirty mind.
No.
Also seems very likely and possible.
Yeah, this is Rick and Morty, after all, so it's probably 1,000% a dildo.
Exactly.
Good to know. Poor guy. Do you think he has to, like, when he gets home, he has to, like, get all the shit that he, like, absorbed out of him somehow? Like, take a shower?
He didn't strike me as the type who really gave a shit. In fact, he really reminded me of a coworker that I have who just kind of, you know, showers every week or two, literally never brushes his teeth. He didn't seem like he's too concerned with hygiene, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know that guy? That guy. He was that guy.
Yeah, that guy. So then, oh my god, this part is Morty barges into his parents' bedroom to find what appears to be people fucking under the covers. Because they're like rhythmically like, and he's like, oh my god, what the fuck? Like, you're in my parents' bedroom. But turns out this creature comes out from under the covers and is just one alien, just weirdly shaped.
With a big, weird hunchback.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just saying that I'm sorry. Like, I just didn't feel very good and I needed to lie down for a bit. And Morty is like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, that's okay. And then immediately he vomits acid onto the bed.
Acid.
And Morty's like, are you fucking kidding me right now? This is disgusting.
Yeah, that's a no good.
My question is, which one's worse? Normal vomit that you then have to clean up or acid vomit that basically just, I guess, dissipates.
And now you just have to get a whole new bed.
But it's less gross, I think.
Yeah, it's technically less cleanup because all you have to do is get rid of the whole bed. So,
but more expensive?
I think actively seeing it, both are fucking gross, I'm sure. But in terms of cleanup, I guess it depends on is money an issue? And I would posture that money is not an issue in this case because they end up having time frozen and they can just go steal whatever they need.
That's true.
So, yeah, this is best case scenario.
I guess so. Still very traumatic to witness it, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then we got to...
Well, so Morty's running around freaking out on everyone for being messy. Rick pawns Morty off on Gearhead, who only ever talks about the Gear Wars. And he's really boring. He's that guy. There's always that guy at a party.
I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah, Jesus. Everybody hates that fucking guy. So 20 minutes later, Rick introduces Scropan, a crab-looking creature dude, to Morty. And Morty's pissed at Rick. He's like, no, the last guy you told me to talk to, he didn't shut up for 20 minutes, Rick. But then Squanchy's in the house. And Rick says he can squanch wherever he wants. Mikasa, Tsukasa, Squanchy. And Morty is suspicious for good reason. Rick tries to tell Morty to chill out. Morty wants to know what's in it for him. And then Jessica walks through the door with impeccable timing and in slow motion. And Rick turns and he's like, knock it off, Slow Mobius, who is causing the slow motion. This is a fun little fourth wall gag. Rick pushes Morty off because... Tonight, the only adventure you're on is your cusping manhood, which is very convenient for Rick if that shuts up Morty and lets him relax, you know?
That's true.
So my question here is, Squanchy, did you watch that terrible, terrible movie, Munchy?
So I didn't have time, honestly, to watch it because it's been a very busy week at work. But today, before we hopped on this call, I did try, like, I did try to watch it. Obviously, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I kind of like skipped through it just to get an idea. Mm-hmm. So I have an idea. Like I know what Munchy is. This annoying fucking guy. The movie's from 1992, and you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw the whole thing, so.
Oh God, there are movies that were made much earlier that are much better. So 92 is no excuse for how horrible this movie is. That has nothing to do with it and everything to do with there's something fucking wrong with somebody on that production team. I think there's something fucking wrong with a lot of people on that production team, specifically the writer and the director and all of the producers. Anybody who said, yes, I think that's a good idea to this film, which includes the entire cast. I can't believe.
I mean, the poor kid, though.
The poor kid, yeah. I mean, so imagine if Jerry Seinfeld was 11 or like 13 or 14. This kid is actually like exactly the right age to be a ringer for Morty. So, for anybody who's confused that's listening to us right now, the reason I'm bringing up this movie, Munchie, is because Squanchy is very obviously based on this weird little puppet character that is this fantastical alien, like, not even imaginary friend. He's this weird little creature that this kid finds. Yeah. And he becomes his best friend, but he's also a troublemaker and problematic. And he helps him win the heart of this girl that he has a crush on. He helps him fight bullies. He helps him fight off this creeper that's trying to marry his mom. So that he doesn't become his stepdad. And it's an E.T. ripoff. They literally do a shot where they're running from the would-be stepdad character. Oh, and also this kid's best friend besides Munchie is an old kooky scientist.
Hello.
Yeah, well, more of a mechanic. He's working on a car when he meets him, but they're very clearly going for a Doc and Marty type relationship here. It's the perfect thing for Rick and Morty to rip off. It's insane the number of weird little plot similarities that there are between Rick and Morty and Munchie in general from season one anyway. Like, there's a scene where the kid, Gage, is sitting in class and he has a fantasy scene about this girl that he has a crush on. I want to say her name is Emily something. Yeah. Except they actually end up getting together by the end of the movie. I don't know. So many crazy, weird little similarities. So if you want to see the original inspiration for Squanchy, it's free on YouTube. There's a sequel that I haven't watched yet. I'm going to force myself to watch it at some point. I don't know why. I'm just a masochist, I guess. But
oh my God, why?
I don't know if it's called Munchie 2 or what. But you'll find it.
No.
It's all on YouTube for free. It was straight to video even when it was released. It was never in theaters. It's that bad.
Thank God. Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. The Munchie guy just creeps me the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. The puppeteering was fucking awful. I just watched the original appearance of the Muppets from, I want to say, the 60s. And it was in black and white. And it was Kermit just sitting on like a fence, just sitting there going bum 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 bum, listening to some music, eating a little worm that's crawling towards him. And then there's a little gag where he gets a really big worm and it turns out to be a monster that eats him. It's really cute, really funny little scene. And it's the very first appearance of the Muppets. And it was billions of times better than the entirety of this movie. Specifically, this god-awful fucking puppet from 30 or 40 years later. No excuses. Zero.
No.
None for how bad Munchie is. It's so bad. I recommend it. You should watch it.
I don't recommend it. So you choose. You choose what to do with your time. It's like an hour and a half long.
Yeah. It's worth sacrificing an hour and 20 minutes of your life to just be able to chat with people about how fucking bad of a movie it is.
How bad it is. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Now we cut to Jerry and the maid, which her name is Lucy.
I think Lucy.
Yeah. So Jerry and Lucy are having the time of their lives on this Titanic thing. They're going through the experiences and everything. And Lucy is telling Jerry how every couple gets to recreate Jack's drowning. Oh, because they're like preparing a bunch of replicas of the fucking floating door or board or headboard, whatever it was. So Jerry's like, what? And so Lucy explains that they recreate Jack's drowning and it's very romantic. And I'm like, question mark? Do you mean tragic? But okay. And then, oh, and then
no,
this
it's
is
romantic.
When...
He dies so that she can live. That's romantic, isn't it?
I mean, there was clearly space on that board for both of them.
There really was. Saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They could have also taken turns, you know?
Also, one thing that ruins the movie in its entirety. I'll never let go, Jack. Crack.
Let's go.
Oh! Just cracks his frozen dead fingers off of the board and shoves him into the ocean. After saying... I'll never let go, Jack.
I'll never let go.
It's like, okay, I know she meant emotionally, not physically.
Yeah,
it'd be weird to hang on to his corpse.
Oh, man.
But
I don't
also,
know. She could have hanged on to the corpse
not
to like, 100%. Give him a proper burial.
Exactly. Exactly the point I was just about to make.
But, you know, who are we to judge? We're not freezing in the middle of the ocean. Maybe your brain is not working properly. I don't know.
Definitely not. Yeah, no, she was, that's a good point. She was definitely close to freezing to death herself. Honestly, the fact that she was above the water seems to me like she probably would have been more cold than him being in the water. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So the board, blah, blah, blah. And then this is when they, they start, like, there's like this over... voice, there's this voice coming on that says iceberg right ahead, and then the buffet is now closed.
It's
iceberg
very efficient.
Right ahead, the buffet is now closed.
That's some good multitasking. yeah
So then but then at this point there's this like sailor guy or co-captain or whatever his thing is that informs the captain that there's not a problem. And the captain's like, what do you mean there's not a problem? Like, this ship is about to completely miss the giant iceberg. Like, what? And everything's like being very dramatic about it. It's like, oh no, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to crash. Like, oh no.
Don't brace yourselves.
Like, do not brace yourselves. They're like, oh, what? Like, okay.
Oh no, what are we going to do? Yeah. Everyone's all forlorn. We cut back to the party. Yeah. Some little sea creature dudes swim around in a drink and they look full size for a moment. But then the camera pans back and they're like in a solo cup. And the dude starts drinking from the cup. And you can see two of the little guys that are still on the table jumping up and down like, no, no. That's the first casualty of the party right there.
That we know of.
Well, actually, no, that's at least the second or third because of the Froopy Doop and the Schmoopy Doop.
Oh, the true.
Yeah, so that didn't take long before people just started fucking dying. It's like Metalocalypse up in here. Well, sure, that's very xenophobic.
Not human.
There we go. Tammy's not looking for a soul bond with Bird Person, but she is looking for a nasty hookup. Bird Person is down to clown. I believe Bird Person can arrange that. And Summer's a huge dick to Nancy when she shows up and tries to talk to her while she's over with the cool kids. Cool kids are all snobby about who Summer's friends with. Rick drops by to tell her how not cool that is and everyone should be welcome at a party. Cue Aberdolf Linkler. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Who wants some Kool-Aid? someone who damned well is not welcome at any party. He's there to exact revenge on Rick for creating him in his tortured existence, having a dual nature or some shit. Rick explains he was trying to create a morally neutral super leader, but it just made him some weird loser. He personally created Aberdolf Linkler. And, fun fact, Hitler was actually just a fucking weird loser, too.
Yeah.
I just listened to a whole series of episodes of Behind the Bastards that lays out how he was just a really sexually pent-up weirdo who beat his dog and abused his girlfriends to the point that most of them attempted suicide and several of them succeeded.
Oh, God.
His type is really a dime a dozen. Like, you know, find yourself a quarter of the population of the United States of America right now that call themselves Republicans. And any one of them could be the next Hitler. We really just need to keep them from getting into power. This motherfucker just happened to get into power. And everybody's like, oh, he's a genius. No, he was just a piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, we already did that with Trump. So.
Right, exactly. If Trump can fucking become president, Hitler was 1,000 times smarter than Trump, and he was still just a piece of shit. Anyway, I don't know if Trump, if... Maybe cut that personally? Out. Hitler was so much better than Trump.
Wait, disclaimer, they are all very, very bad.
Yes, very bad.
We do not support genocide. Okay.
Not okay with Hitler. If anybody gets that from this, you're not listening.
No.
All right.
This is funny because we're about to get into a weird conversation between Abradolf Linkler and Brad.
Very God. Yeah.
Him trying not to be racist towards it.
So Abradolf accidentally gets into a row. I don't know how you pronounce it, but I typed it anyway for some reason. He gets into it with Brad because he bumps into him while he's threatening Rick. It's an accident. It's clearly an accident. And Brad turns around and makes a big deal out of it. He's like, excuse you or something. I don't know. And then he's like, I have no quarrel with you, boy. And
what do you mean, boy?
Oops. You don't use that word talking to anybody, but it's especially problematic saying that to a black person. Just don't call people boy. I think that's just a good, I regularly make a joke with friends of mine. Especially if I run into them in public and I see them across the street, I'll say, you there, boy, fetch me the largest turkey in all the land. I specifically enjoy saying that to girls that are my friend. I don't know why.
Nice.
I don't know why it's so funny, but it's really funny to me. My ex-girlfriend hated it. It might be why she's my ex now.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Exactly that.
You there, boy. Don't say that during sex. Sorry. I thought it was funny.
Time and a place.
People are so fucking jumpy these days. All right. Mm-hmm. Woo! All right. So Brad makes an issue out of it, he kind of has every right to. Normally, I hate Brad, but in this case, I'm totally on board with Fred being like, what do I know? That the Third Reich will reign for 1,000 years? And Rick yells to kick his ass, and Brad doesn't need any more coaxing than that, and it's just on. Morty's all.
Everybody starts chanting, kick his ass.
And Morty's all, oh no, Rick. But Rick's like, I just did you a fucking favor, Morty. Because now he's got an opening to go talk to Jessica, who steps outside immediately as Brad starts fighting. And so we're out on the stoop. Morty apologizes for Rick's weird friends. Jessica wants someone who's nice and sweet and not always trying to prove how much of a man he is. And Morty, you can just see it on Morty's face. He's like, oh, this is my chance. And he's like, Jessica, I want to show you something. And he takes her into the garage where he shows her this holographic image projector of the universe. It actually is really pretty.
It's pretty. She's like, it's beautiful. And it's like, you feel like there's this like romantic, cool moment happening between them. But then.
Yeah, there kind of is. Or it's just that bullshit 90s propaganda type moment in a film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Morty's about to tell her how he feels about her. He's like, I have to tell you something. And she's like, what is that? As if she's saying, what is it you have to tell me? Like, but she's distracted by the noises in the cabinet, which turns out to be Squanchy squanching it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. He's choking himself.
Yeah. Turns out squanching is autoerotic asphyxiation.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the ye old squanch land. So that's fun. And so they're startled, and Morty trips backwards, knocking over a pillar thing with a globe on top, which breaks and shorts out and creates a huge field that grows up to the size of the house and teleports the entire house into another dimension. Like you do.
Another dimension.
Another another dimension. Another dimension. Another dimension. I still have, really have no idea what that's actually from. Rex just quotes it all the time on Beer
Me
with Buffy.
Me neither. I just have it from Beer with Buffy.
This is getting so extra meta right now. Yeah. It's a bit incestuous, really.
Well.
That's okay. That's fun.
Can I, hey, wait.
What is it? Rule 34? 64? What's the one that if it's a thing, then there's porn of it on the internet?
I don't know that rule. I mean, I feel like I know it, but I don't know the number of it.
Hmm.
69? Oh, well,
anyway, it's strangely, no, it's not 69. Oh. Anyway, so teleported into another dimension.
That's right. Yeah.
Rick assesses the situation and he's like, big star in the sky, oxygen rich atmosphere, giant tentacle monsters. We'll be fine. Let's party. Woo.
Hey.
And there's always that one fucking guy who gets a little too excited and runs directly at the tentacle monster and gets shoved inside its big vagina-like orifice.
Yes.
I've been that guy a couple of times at a party, you know.
The guy that runs out of the guy that shoves people into their vagina-like orifice.
Yes.
Okay. See, these are the type of clips that we can't post on TikTok, okay?
I know, right? I've been to a lot of parties, Alex. Okay? Don't ask me to narrow it down quite so specifically, all right?
Okay. So I dubbed this guy T-shirt dude, okay? Just for future reference.
Sure.
He's lost into the testicle monster vagina.
Mm-hmm. Seemingly indefinitely.
I thought for a second he was being eaten, but then right. I understood later on that that wasn't the case.
That's definitely not its mouth.
No.
Like, you can see its mouth and that's not it. They definitely describe it as a... Well, it's funny because they call it a testicle monster, but then that is clearly a vagina-like orifice.
Hey, it's...
Unless it could be a butt.
It could be.
Could be a butt. We don't know. We don't know that that's
the front
of it.
But it's in the front.
But also, maybe we're being really, not xenophobic, but ignorant anyway. Who says that alien life forms have to have the same analogous anatomy that we do? Maybe their vaginas are in the back instead of the front. I mean, they're hardly even on the front. I'm just gonna stop there.
Okay.
It's really more of a downward kind of whatever.
So after the t-shirt guy gets shoved into the testicle monster's vagina, there's a little bit of an awkward pause, but then Rick turns the music on and he's like, just shake that ass, bitch, and let me see what you got.
Oh, yeah. And it completely diffuses the situation.
Yeah.
No problem.
He's like, it's fine.
Everything's fine now. And commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
Summer scolds Morty as we come back, but is relieved that everyone is still having a blast. She's like, if everyone wasn't still having a blast in there, I'd be so mad at you, Morty. And those are the only consequences, is that she would be mad at him. And I love Rick's detached sarcasm here. He's like, oh, wow, you really lucked out with Summer on that one, Morty. Morty's freaking out because, you know, another dimension, which you'd think Morty would be fine with. They go to other dimensions all the time.
Yeah, I guess he's worried about the whole, like, the house is getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And the consequence of not being on adventures with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that really is what he's upset about this whole time. That being said, I would totally freak out in a situation like that.
Just for being in another dimension.
Yeah. You know, if I randomly... It really spikes my anxiety thinking about it, actually. But then I remember, like, but I'd be used to it, like Morty should be. So I really don't understand his issue here other than the house is getting destroyed. And I think that's mainly it, like you called it.
But Rick tells him to relax and saying that all they have to do is to go out and find some Kalexian crystals. And it's very much implied that, like, this is the solution to the problem of being in this other dimension. So Morty immediately assumes that, like, okay, this is what we need to do to get back to Earth of C-137. So Morty wants to go right away. But Rick and Summer are like, oh, no, like, I can't go. Like, I have to stay back and blah, blah, blah. I don't know what excuse he says. But so instead, Rick suggests that he can take Linkler with him Even though Linkler's like all beat up, he's like, oh, I don't know, I can't go. Like, I'm injured.
I'm injured, man.
Rick is like, just go, just go. And then equally, Summer volunteers Nancy to go with them on this quest. And Nancy's like, wait, what? And like, whatever, she just shoves her.
Yeah, fuck her smug little smile when she sends off Nancy. Because you're so good at playing the flute.
Yeah.
It's so shitty.
What?
But, you know, she gets her comeuppance.
Yeah. So then they're off to their little quest of going to get the collection crystals. And then we cut to the Titanic again.
Yes. Not the real one, but the fake one.
No, the fake one, yeah.
Yeah, where everyone is issued a free coupon for some James Cameronian rings while they wait for the sinking to commence. Beth craps out again and tells Jerry to go find Lucy, who shows him the car storage area and then strips naked and points a fucking gun at him. She's like, you're going to draw me and then you're going to fuck me in that car over there.
Oh, my God. She turns real rapey real quick.
It escalates very quickly. Yeah.
Huh?
Back to the other dimension where Aberdolf waxes not very philosophically, but he tries. He's like, I definitely think all men are created equal, but at the same time,
and he's and like, stop.
He gets cut off, thank God, because yeah. Where are you gonna go with that? I kind of want to know where he was gonna go with that, but at the same time, I also want to kill a huge chunk of the population.
Probably, yeah,
yeah. Because oh, they're not equal. My duality.
But like, okay, hold on. Because I have a question here. I don't know much about American history.
Me either.
Well, fuck. So Abraham Lincoln is like known for being the president who freed the slaves, correct?
Yeah.
But there's also, it is also known that he kept slaves after this, no?
Seems likely.
That's
what
I heard.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
Like, hush hush, but like, for real, like, you know?
Right. So like every other president that's ever existed in this country, he was a goddamn hypocrite. Yeah.
Right,
and
he
was just towing the party line and doing things for political maneuvering reasons, but was still a member of the elite, you know, financial people who keep the rest of the... Anyway, you were saying?
So this Linkler character, isn't he both, like, wouldn't he be, like, extra racist?
Right, yeah. They're definitely playing up that he's supposed to be...
Like, the other side of the coin, but not really.
So when we're in elementary school, they play up Abraham Lincoln like he's this paragon of virtue, super not racist, friendly, super duper, not really uncle type, but like your granddad that everybody looks up to, self-made man kind of shit. So they're playing into that image of him, how they want us to see him, not the reality of Abraham Lincoln.
Not the real. Okay, yeah. It's just funny. I'm done with analyzing Linkler.
Cool. Yeah, really not worth it.
No.
So they find the crystals, and Nancy is very sadly convinced. She's very desperate. She's like, this will make Summer like me again. She's gathering the crystals. And Aberdolf then suddenly gets attacked by this weird beast creature. And he's actually kind of awesomely badass and heroic about it. I had a quote of the day here. This is actually pretty funny. Prepare to be emancipated from your own inferior genes. That's just a fantastic line for this really ridiculous concept of Abraham Lincoln mixed with Adolf Hitler. That's... Yeah. Emancipated. Oh, that's Abraham Lincoln. Inferior genes. That's Hitler. Hey.
That's Hitler.
Okay. So we see the body of the beast. It goes flying, and Linkler's all bloody and fucked up now. And then
Yeah.
When he's talking to Morty, he says, "Mine journey is over, Morty."
Okay.
Not but the German mine, M-E-I-N, as in Mein Kampf.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Then just another Hitler reference there.
Reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Hitler, huh? He existed and murdered millions of people, huh? That's fun, right? Everybody loves that.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. But he's got something to tell Morty, but we don't hear what.
Cliffhanger.
Cut back to the party. You want to take it from there?
Yeah, so we're back at the party. Gearhead is playing guitar or some guitar-like instrument.
Oh, God.
And singing about the Gear Wars. He can't shut up about it. God.
He really can't. He's being the guitar guy. You're familiar with the guitar guy, right?
Yeah, there's always a guy who's like, I brought my guitar, and he starts playing it.
Yeah, or just picks up a guitar. There's always a guitar at a party that you can just pick up, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But everybody's listening to him or sing. And then and this is when Morty and Nancy get back from the quest with the crystals. And, you know, Morty's thinking that Rick is going to use them to portal all of them back to Earth C-137. He's like, here are the crystals. We're back, you know. Morty tells Rick that Linkler didn't make it, but he sacrificed himself for them and for this cause. And there's this final message that he wanted to pass on before he died. And he says he was really sorry and that he loves you like a father. He only wanted you to accept him, and he hopes that his final act would redeem him in your eyes. And he starts like crying and tearing up. He's like, he sacrificed himself to save us all, Rick. He died. And Rick is like, well, at least he didn't die in vain. He got these crystals. And then he proceeds to cut and snort the crystals like cocaine.
Because he just saved this lame party. And then the Rick dance happens.
Oh my God, which is iconic, by the way. The beat slaps, just want to say.
It's the Rick dance. It's the Rick dance. Which is an emote that you can use in Fortnite, so that makes it cool. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He also says Wubba Lubba Dub Dub again. Shout out.
Oh, yeah.
To the podcast. Yeah.
I'm in great pain. No, we haven't gotten there yet. Okay.
Oh, not yet. yeah, but like, it's funny because he gets high as fuck. Like, he snorts the crystal. His eyes turn blue. He's like clearly high as fuck. He's like, play something. And that's when the boombox guy, there's this guy who is a boombox, and he just turns himself on. Giggity.
That's handy. Hey, giggity.
And when Rick starts dancing the Rick dance, Morty's just like, wait a minute. What? Oh, Morty. Yeah. And then we got the montage of the choreo. He plays with the slow-mo Mobius guy. He, like, puts him in reverse for a bit. It's this whole production. Mm-hmm. It's great. Somehow, like, a bunch of people know the choreo as well, and they're, like, background dancing. Yeah, they're background dancing and everything. Mm-hmm.
Backup dancers.
Yes. Morty is befuddled and pissed as fuck. Rick reveals that he can get them back home whenever he wants. You know, Morty's like, I thought the crystals are going to help us get back home. Rick is like, no, bro, I can get us back home whenever I want. You know, I just wanted the crystals. And he's coming down from them because the Crystal Galaxian is a really strong but fleeting high. So he's like, he's coming down and he's like, do you have more crystals? Morty throws the crystals outside and the giant testicle monster grabs them and eats them.
Fuck your crystals. Rick,
he gets high as fuck. And then the testicle monster is like dancing in the background, like do 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 do, while Morty's like pissed and everything. Morty party pooper buskill demands that Rick take them back home now. Rick is like, fuck, you know, you're fucking party pooper, but fine.
Everybody boos.
Starts booing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Boo! You suck, whatever your name is.
Did somebody say that?
Yeah.
That's great.
I love that. And Then we cut to...
Yeah, back over to the Titanic, where Jerry is sweating bullets trying to draw Lucy at gunpoint. And we see this picture that he's drawing, and it's fucking awful. It's, it's like what you would expect somebody to draw if they were just a huge pervert. And they were... Like, it's basically a stick figure with gigantic boobs. It's hilarious. So...
Yeah.
But he's actually really trying. You can tell he's like, oh, if I don't do this well enough, she's going to kill me. But that's about how it would work for me, too, because I don't sketch. I'm not an art. I'm not that kind of an artist. So I feel for him. I feel for him here. Okay, it was great. Probably even better than what I would have come up with. So anyway, she points the gun at him again, and she tells him to get into the car and love inside of her so that there's no mess to clean up. Just as Beth throws a book at the back of her head, knocking her out.
Yeah.
Quote of the day from Beth here. Bet you're glad I think Kindles are dumb now. Which was really cheesy. So fucking cheesy.
Yeah.
A bunch of crew members are standing around gawking at Lucy's unconscious naked body. I really wonder what cued Beth to come looking for Jerry. But I guess whatever it was, it's a good thing she did.
Maybe she finished the book and she was like, where is Jerry?
Right. Well, I don't think the boat ever ended up sinking. So maybe she was coming to tell him that they were all getting off the boat or something.
Because
it's not going to sink. That's my headcanon. There we go. Going with that.
Okay.
I just thought it was really gross how she's like, and you're going to love inside of me. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. That was disgusting.
Yeah. So, we're back in the parking lot now at the car. Beth feels guilty because she didn't think Lucy was a rapist. And Jerry has the strangest...
What does a rapist look like exactly, Beth?
Yeah, it's the strangest and most oddly specific reaction to this. See a Slavic man with a denim jacket, patchy beard, smells of cheap champagne wafting over his blistered pock lips.
And Beth is like, what?
Whilst Jerry looks strangely traumatized. It's like, what happened to you, Jerry? Jesus.
So now we all know that Jerry was raped by this specific Slavic man. And that's canon. But I don't think that's ever brought up ever again.
No.
To my recollection.
I just thought of the worst joke that I'm not going to say now. Okay.
Oh my God.
It's a rape joke, so we're not gonna go there.
Okay.
I'm so sorry for even suggesting it. So
don't think it.
I'm still thinking it. I can't stop.
terrible person.
No, okay. But what is it with Jerry? Like, keeps getting sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He
anyway.
Is okay. No, we're not gonna do that.
Exactly. You just had the same thought that I did. I beamed it into your head.
What have you done?
Stop. Oh, we're bad people. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Rape is bad. Okay. Don't joke about it.
It's very bad.
All right.
Don't.
Oh. So Jerry can't fit the debris souvenir in the car, and he playfully reenacts the Jack drowning scene with the debris in the front seat. He has to get that last little moment in to try and reenact something from the fucking movie with Beth, since she crapped out of the entire weekend. But Beth is still just a huge buzzkill, and now we know where Morty gets it, at least from this episode. And she tells Jerry to just leave it. She's like, it's never going to fit in the car, Jerry. Just leave it. And he's like, yeah, you're right. He gets in and buckles in. Like, Jesus, Beth. Why did you even come to this with him if you weren't going to play along?
Yeah.
What a terrible marriage.
I mean, yeah. It's just because in previous episodes, it's just like they seem to try to not get divorced. Like they got to a point where they were gonna get divorced, but then they're like, no, because it was the episode where
we haven't gotten to the counseling episode yet.
No, I think when Beth's mind got like turned back to like, oh, maybe I should like keep trying with Jerry, was the episode, I think it was the interdimensional TV episode, when the Jerry from the TV from the other dimension came back.
Yeah. It was such a hopeful, touching, heartfelt episode.
Yeah.
at the end Like, I tear up every time. It is such a great episode. Everything about it.
Whoa, Jesus. God almighty, what just happened?
Hello? Cat.
Fucking. God damn.
A cat attack.
Just, yeah, the cat's just knocking shit over on the table behind me. On the other side of the door. Okay.
Okay, you're fine. So, yeah, so to me it just seems that, like, when Beth saw that version of them from the other dimension have that heartfelt moment, she was like, all right, maybe we can, you know, that there's hope for us here. Like, maybe we can go through that as well and fix our relationship. But maybe in this dimension it's just not happening. And she's like, kind of trying, but like not really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Beth is like back and forth with this. Because this whole episode, she just did not engage and did not want to engage with Jerry. Yeah. Like, she didn't even whole make an ass effort episode. At all.
Right. You know, and I guess you can have those heightened emotional moments with somebody, but then you realize once you get back into it, like, oh, it's back to the same old shit. You fall back into this old cycle of realizing that you're not actually compatible with this person, no matter how strong of a connection you have with them. Not speaking from experience at all. That's never happened to me before.
No.
So that's what I think is going on there, as clearly evidenced by later episodes as well. They're codependent.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
And he's insecure, and she needs somebody to control. So, and he needs somebody to control him. They're codependent. I'm really looking forward to the episode where they get counseling, because that completely goes deep dive into their relationship. But anyway.
Yep. Jerry gets in the car and drops the heart of the ocean.
Yeah. While I criticize Beth for not engaging and telling him to just leave the piece of debris, it's still hilarious because it sets up the moment for him to sadly drop the heart of the ocean out the window.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have gotten that moment otherwise. And it was perfectly satirically timed. So I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Nevertheless. That's and then, of course, Lucy is hiding under the car and hanging onto the undercarriage to try and...
Oh, my God.
Go...
The worst idea ever.
I love that they, she quickly gets run over and screams in horrible pain, like would definitely actually happen if you ever tried something that stupid.
Exactly.
I think there was a record of somebody who was doing some work on their car, and he got a Darwin Award. Do you remember the Darwin Awards? Were you ever familiar, keeping up with those at all?
Mm-mm.
Awards for people who died in stupid ways. I don't know if how many of them were true or not, but I believe this to be true. If anybody wants to tell me how wrong I am, feel free to contact us. Give us a call at 269-743-0783.
Hey.
But there was a guy who died pretty much just like this because he strapped himself to the bottom of his car to try and listen to a noise that the car was making to try and troubleshoot the problem while somebody drove it.
Oh.
And very quickly, hit his head on a rock or something. Or no, he like got wrapped around the fucking drive shaft or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, really dumb thing to do. Don't ever try to hang onto the undercarriage of a moving vehicle.
Dumb ways to die.
Exactly.
So many dumb ways to die. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But wait, before she gets run over, I just have a question. She keeps saying like, Cape Fear. I'm doing like Cape Fear. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. Isn't Cape Fear a TV show or a movie or something?
I have no idea. I mean, clearly it's a reference to it, but...
But it's exactly what it is. She's obsessed with TV shows and reenacting them.
Okay, yeah.
Like Titanic. So she's doing a Cape Fear, which I've never seen, but that's my guess. Anyway, I was going to say dying that way still isn't as dumb as taking a submersible down to the bottom of the ocean to see the Titanic that you haven't properly tested or rated for those depths. And you're a stupid billionaire who stuffed five other people in the sub with you.
It's
kind of a toss-up. They're both really stupid ways to die. Yeah.
Oh, man. R.I.P. R.I.P.
Yeah. So we're back at the Smith house now. The house portals back into its hole in the ground that it left behind. Not sure how, considering that when it teleported to the other dimension, it dropped several feet when it got to the other side. So I'm sure Rick probably just accounted for that when he brought it back. It's fine. So Squanchy is hosting the after party because of course he is. But Summer is not invited because she was such a bitch to Nancy. Jessica is, of course, leaving with Brad still, even though we thought she hated him and maybe was starting to like Morty. Summer nihilistically claims that next time she's going to get totally wrecked and praises Rick's wisdom, who grumbles incoherently face down on the couch. Bird Person helps clean up. He's the only one that's still hanging around. And he chats with Morty, giving him some insight into Rick, explaining that his catchphrase, wubba-lubba-dub-dub, actually means, I am in great pain. Please help me. And Morty claims that Rick is just being ironic, but Bird Person corners Morty's argument by saying, why do you care so much then? This is your chance to be rid of him forever. And Morty balks at that, saying, yeah, why do I care at that? Well, he doesn't balk at it. He tries to agree. And he's like, why do I care? This is the best thing. I'm sick of adventures with Rick. And the Bird Person's like, well, we have another saying where I come from. Gubba nub nub do rocka. Whatever lets you sleep at night. Now, hear me out, Alex. Hear me out.
Okay.
Spinoff of Wubba Lubba Pod Pod called Gubba Nub Nub Do Rocka.
Oh, God.
I don't know what we're talking about on that podcast, but...
What are we spinning off? I don't know.
Good question.
Whatever lets us sleep at night. Yes.
All of the other shows that have been worked into the canon infrastructure of Rick and Morty. Like that one with the mug and the notebook pad that came through the portal. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, Gravity Falls.
Gravity Falls, yes, exactly. And even Futurama has been included as part of the universe. There's a scene several seasons down the line from where we're at where we see the Planet Express ship.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't seen Futurama.
What? Oh, no. Believe you. It's from Futurama. So anyway, that's the phrase we use if we make another podcast. So, all right. Summer looks at her phone, warning them that their parents are right around the corner. And Rick groggily asks for the thing with buttons and it beeps. which is not nearly specific enough for Morty.
That describes everything in your garage.
Right? But Summer is on top of that shit. And Rick hits the button that freezes time. And this is the first time we see him do that thing where he's like, and away we go. Boop. Beth and Jerry are stomping through the front yard looking super pissed. And they freeze right in place. And now they've got all the time in the world to clean up the house. Hey. And cue a big cleaning montage. They paint, they vacuum, they carve pumpkins. They put the pumpkins on their parents' heads. They pull everyone's pants down on the street. They steal stuff from Best Buy. And finally, they watch...
Better Buy.
Not allowed to say Best Buy. Probably. Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Fuck that place. Finally, they watch Titanic on that TV that they stole while they're on the front lawn. Morty's like, what a waste of time. Ha ha ha. Pun intended, apparently. And Morty points out that Rick hasn't once said his catchphrase this whole time. And seemingly Rick is happy now and they're all happy. He's like, that's because I got a new catchphrase. I love my grandkids, which is actually really sweet. I'm really happy about that. But then he ruins it. It's like, psych. It's actually, I don't give a fuck. Cue up, shake that ass, bitch, and let me see what you
got. Just shake that ass, bitch. Yep.
So,
he shakes that ass.
Did you see how nerdy of a dancer Morty is?
Yeah.
He's just like...
He's the last one. Yeah.
This is his dance. I was going to say, it's like me at the club. No, I'm way better than that. Oh, yeah.
We'll have to see that to confirm.
Summer and Rick are both pretty good at twerking. Rick does his fourth wall breaky thing, shouting on about that's season one. Boom, up in your face. Woo, blah, blah, blah. Credits.
Roll the credits. That's the end. That's the end. It's a good show.
It's a good show. But don't forget the tag scene.
Yeah. What happens?
Linkler, Aberdolf Linkler, is alive. And so is that kid who we thought got eaten by the testicle monster. But it turns out he's living his best life, being repeatedly dildoed into the vaginal orifice of this testicle creature. Yeah, Linkler, not super pleased about it. This kid, though, he's loving it. Linkler's like, "What? I don't understand. You're enjoying this? Oh, you know it, bro.
You know it, Dor. Oh, my God. He's so annoying.
Yeah. Can't argue with that. You like what you like.
Yeah, to each their own.
It does seem like a fate worse than death.
And then it's a good show.
Though. It's a good show.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a wrap on season one, bitches.
Oh, yeah.
I believe Bird Person can arrange that.
Go have some fun out there, Bird Person.
It's unwise of me to share these details, but I've become inebriated. They are designed to attract the attention of the female.
It's working.
In bird culture, this is considered a dick move.
How'd you feel about the episode? What overarching themes and character development do you think was the most important that we saw in this episode?
Rick being very like, I don't care about shit. Summer kind of mirroring that. And Morty being the one who does care. And he's like suffering through the whole thing. And he like takes on the responsibility. The only one who takes on any responsibility. I guess they're just like setting us up for next season with that.
Yeah. And see, that's why I was struggling with finding theories for this episode. There's not really a whole lot out there that specifically culminates to this episode in terms of what we're basing the fan theory on. But this episode is just chock full of setup for the seasons to come and lots of things that we are going to focus on that... Almost every theory out there finds some way to reference back to Rixie business, just to use one thing here or there that supports their theory. There's lots of little supporting bits that happened in this. But I'd say probably the biggest thing that we get set up here is that we see... This is where we learn that wubble wubble dub dub actually means I am in great pain, please help me. And it's the first time we really see Rick being super depressed. Like, we've seen him super drunk, but it's not entirely clear that he's doing that to cope with depression. I mean, it stands to reason.
Up until this point.
Yeah. And that's a huge plot point, central part of what builds the plot from here on out. Even Bird Person specifically grabs Morty and says... you have every opportunity to be rid of Rick right now, but you're clearly in denial. You don't hate Rick. You don't hate going on these adventures. You've cared about nothing this whole time except ensuring that you can continue to go on these adventures.
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know, why does Morty care so much about Rick? I mean, I think we've got a good idea of why Rick would care so much about Morty, but hides it. But, and I
throughout the whole season, we've seen just Rick represented as somebody who doesn't give a fuck about anything. He's just like doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Or at least that's what he wants us to believe.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like that's what we like see on the first layer, let's say. And then in these last episodes, the episode before this one and this one, they're like digging in a little bit deeper and letting us see, like just going into the next layer and kind of showing us that he's not just somebody who doesn't care about anything. there's something that he cares about and he is in pain. Mm-hmm. And maybe at this point, we don't know exactly why he's in pain. But that's the setup. That's like, in the future, maybe that's what we're going to explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it's just kind of to answer my own question, I guess, from a minute ago. I think Morty is... I think he cares about Rick and continuing to go on adventures with Rick, because Rick is really the only person who expends any amount of energy in a positive way, even though he's very often like berating and talking down to Morty. It's still attention, and I think he's very neglected otherwise in terms of attention. Jerry is the only other one that really tries to spend any time with him, but not much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Like one episode this entire season, Jerry was like, hey, let's do some father-son science project thing. And that's it. One episode out of 11. The rest of them, it's all Rick. Yeah. And I think that's a very important thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good theory of why Morty wants to continue with the adventures and everything.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's as good a transition as any to some fan theory talk. Okay. I guess that kind of leads naturally into... So last episode we talked a lot about the idea that evil Morty is, in fact, Rick's original Morty. But, and I know we've mentioned it before, but we didn't go too much into depth, and I'm still not going to go too much into depth, but I'm going to focus on it a little bit more. The fan theory idea that Rick is Morty, Morty is Rick, and there's some sort of time loop thing going on. Now, I hesitate with this one because it's pretty well known that Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland specifically did not want to touch time travel with this show. Probably just because they didn't want it to get compared too much to Back to the Future.
Right.
And like there's so, and it's a writer's nightmare to go into time travel shit.
Yeah.
With a TV show that has so much different canon and lore going on. Excuse me. Like, yeah, that just sounds like a nightmare. Like this show is already hard enough to keep track of. And maybe that's because they're not taking it as seriously as everybody else is, and it's just working out for them. But so regardless of the fact that there's literally a shelved box of time travel stuff in the garage in pretty much every episode in season one and thereafter, as far as I can remember, which I think symbolically is the writers saying, we are never going to use time travel in this show. And the next episode... little bit of a spoiler alert, A Wrinkle in Time literally ends with these time management creatures coming by and saying, don't fuck with time. That's again symbolically the writers saying, we are not going to fuck with time. Stop asking us to. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Fuck off. Yeah. Like we'll fuck with theoretical instances that are happening simultaneously all day long. But whether they are in the future or the past, go fuck yourself. That's too much trouble. All that being said, let's say so they don't mess with time regularly. But the fact that there is a box of time travel stuff sitting on the shelf implies otherwise, outside of that symbolic shit, that Rick did fuck with time travel at a point in time.
At some point. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So they don't use it throughout the series, but presumably he used it off screen, perhaps before the series started. Yes?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay. Stands to reason, right? So that's one little piece of evidence. A lot of people like to point at the blue pants theory. Now, this part of the reason I hesitate on getting to this theory and going too far in depth is because we have to reference a lot of shit that we haven't gotten to yet, but I think people are going to be able to handle it. I think if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably seen every episode of Rick and Morty that there is. If you haven't, spoiler alerts, you're going to hear stuff about post season one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, in the season 3 opener, the Rickshank Redemption, Rick is held captive by the Galactic Federation, and an agent is sent into his brain inception style to see how Rick invented his infamous portal gun. We see a flashback of young Rick, where Rick mentions that he used to wear blue pants. Who else wears blue pants? Morty. By the way, just to keep it on the up and up, I'm reading directly from an article on Ranker.com. And I'm referencing most of their bullet points on reasons why Morty may or may not be Rick. So, blue pants. Blue pants!
Okay.
Whatever.
Blue pants. Got it.
Because people aren't allowed to change their pants. So.
Not in cartoons.
Here's one that I never noticed before. But we got to fast forward again to the Rickshank Redemption, which I believe is season 3. Do you remember Annie from Anatomy Park?
Yes.
And how Rick shrinks her down instead of letting her be with Morty and Morty be with her. Well, there's a theory that she is, in fact, Diane, which is Rick's dead wife. Because they look very, very similar when you do a side-by-side. They've got the same freckles pattern. Their mouth is the same shape, same face, same shaped face. Very similar hair color. The eye shape looks off to me, but the neck, everything else looks pretty damn near identical. Nothing that couldn't be explained away with being 10 to 20 years older, you know? Yeah, if Morty becomes Rick when he's older, it would stand to reason that he would rescue her from wherever Rick put her so that he could be with her. Mm-hmm. And then upon losing her, repeats the cycle of going back to try and change his past self by raising him differently, but then fails mm-hmm. horribly, and we're just stuck in a cyclical redundancy loop.
In the loop, yeah.
So, there's an episode coming up, another Citadel episode, where we see a character that looks like a mix of Rick and Morty, because it's a tall, skinny face of Morty with Rick's hair, wearing a lab coat, but a yellow shirt and blue pants. So it's...
Oh. It's like a mix of both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They talk about how Rick is hard on Morty because he hates himself. Reading directly from Ranker again, Rick is one of the most self-loathing, hateful bastards in the multiverse. No one is particularly proud of what they were like at 14, but imagine if you had to hang out with your 14-year-old self all the time and put up with all of that nonsense. Rick is particularly harsh on Morty because he's his own worst critic, and he's forced to relive every stupid decision he made as a teenager. Plus, he knows Morty can take it and that it will eventually turn him into a better person, or at least a Rickier person. The Mega Seeds thing. So when Rick says... I used to smuggle these all the time, but my butthole's too loose now, Morty. His butthole's too loose because he was Morty, having to put those seeds up his butt. I don't think it's a good theory. I don't like this theory, but it's a prevalent one that I can see the writers may be following through with to wrap things up at the end. Last point I'm going to make here that they talk about is Rick is totally desensitized and Morty is following in his footsteps. Reading directly from Ranker.com. Ever since the pilot episode, Rick has been putting Morty into some pretty ridiculous situations. Morty has buried his own corpse, forced an entire civilization into slave labor, and once kicked a jelly bean's ass because it tried to rape him. Rick is generally unfazed by these things. He's seen all of the crazy, fucked up stuff the multiverse has to offer, and he's slowly exposing Morty to it one adventure at a time. This explains why Rick is literally never shocked by anything in the multiverse. He's literally seen all of it before, when he was a kid adventuring with his grandfather. I disagree, personally.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of times where Rick is...
what the fuck is that? Morty, run! We're gonna die!
The scene that you reenacted for TikTok, where he's like, I was not in control of that situation. I had no idea what was gonna happen. Is he just faking that? I don't think so.
I was just thinking of that time where I don't remember what it was, but Morty asks about something and Rick tells him like, oh, you know, I'll explain it when you're older, or you'll get it when you're older.
That's
like
another
that.
One that comes up a lot. And that's a nice little talking point that I think is easily explained by him just having experience with what a cocky Morty is like because he's lost a Morty before.
Right. Okay.
But it does make a good amount of sense to think that he would know, but he wouldn't know what an older Morty is like unless he were Morty when he was older. So actually that is really good evidence. I know we talked about that last episode. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly how I explained it away.
Reference, go listen to the last episode if you want to know more.
Yeah, if you didn't already, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, but let us know what you think about that theory in particular. I do want to hit another couple of them that are specifically related to Rixey business just real quick, and then we'll wrap this up.
Wait. I just want to say that about this theory, I also don't think that it's like true, but I think it does have very strong points, and I think it's a very kind of important theory and popular theory amongst the fandom of Rick and Morty, so I'm glad like we talked about it, you know.
Yeah, and I mean the whole idea of is it true or not, it's a fictional story. It's a very, very thin, blurry line between actual canon and headcanon. Like, yeah. Whatever satisfies you the most is canon. Why worry about it?
Nothing otherwise? Matters. Let's just go watch TV.
Exactly. There are theories out there that postulate. So in this episode, we are introduced to Slow Mobius, you know, amongst a bunch of other characters, and which gives us the idea of time dilation, which Rick also uses at the end of the episode, and he's like, Slow Mobius thinks he's all that. So it's a thing canonically in the universe that you can stop or slow time. So there are people positing the theory that the Citadel uses time dilation to exist almost indefinitely outside of time and space, and that the inhabitants of the Citadel, all the Rick and Mortys at the Citadel of Ricks, could possibly have been there for decades or centuries. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. Let me read the Reddit post, because that's how every credible argument ever starts out.
On Reddit.
Written by you, Shanka Czar, just so we're giving proper credit here. He says, the Ricks and Mortys on the Citadel seem to have lived there for much longer than a year or two. The Rick and Morty from C-137 have known much longer than the year or two that Rick and Morty from C-137 have known each other. My theory is that the Citadel uses time dilation technology like Rick used in Rixey Business to slow time inside their pocket dimension. Maybe decades have passed inside the Citadel, enough time for Ricks and Mortys to develop a lot of unique personalities. This would explain why many of the Mortys seem to have become more mature than you'd expect a 14-year-old to be, and many of the Ricks may have mellowed from years of safety and security. The Ricks probably used some of their fancy technology to stop both the Ricks and Mortys from aging. That way the Rick population will never die off, and the Mortys won't physically mature and become rebellious.
Okay.
And the thread, oh boy, does the thread drone on. I don't think this theory makes a whole lot of sense, personally. Somebody points out there's a scene where one Rick says to another, you know, we're the same age, right? And also, wouldn't they look different ages if time was still passing while they're there? So this all really begs the question, how does time pass outside of people that are using this time dilation technology? And then we start to get into some super nerd shit that I'm not even half prepared to really go into. Not even nerd shit, it's geek shit, because it's all completely faux theoretical. Like, it works however you want it to work at this point. So I'm not even gonna drone on about this last one anymore. I'm just gonna skip over to another Reddit post by The Winter Spring from 8 years ago about timelines and dimensions. So as far as he says, as far as I understand, he or she, they, I don't know. As far as I understand, in the different dimensions as they work in the show, time goes at the same pace. You don't time travel using a portal gun. So what happens relative to other dimensions when Rick freezes time in Rixey Business? I assume not all other dimension Ricks throw a party at the same time and wake up at the last moment and decide that freezing time is the only way out. So I see two options here. Time didn't freeze, just most of the people on Earth, C-137. So any dimensions that didn't freeze time continue at the same pace as the unfrozen folks at Earth C-137. Thus, events equivalent to the future of Earth C-137 have already happened at many other dimensions. And by visiting them, Rick could learn a lot of mistakes. if that works, I think it's enough of a reason to occasionally use the time freezer in Rixy situations. He wrote that. Find it very upsetting. So kind of the flip side of this theory is, alternatively, all of time froze, including other dimensions. So the unfrozen folks aged an extra 6 months, meaning Rick Morty Summer would have aged an extra 6 months relative to unfrozen dimensions. And in which case, Morty C-137 would grow a beard early or something. And he doesn't feel like this version of the theory is very interesting. And I suppose he's right. I think it makes more sense that it would be more localized. Like, that'd be a really powerful ass little fucking garage door opener.
Yeah.
If it's freezing.
To freeze time in all dimensions.
All of time and space across the multiverse. That's a lot of power for one person to have. But it begs the question, if it's localized, how does time proceed outside of that pocket? Which is why it's science fiction and not science fact. Or and not science.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think the answer is don't think about it too hard.
Yeah, like I was going to say, to all of these, like, time theories, I think the answer is it's the cartoon effect. It's like The Simpsons. It's been going on for 20 plus years and nobody ages and nobody questions that. It's like Bob's Burgers. It's been going on for 12 years and the kids are all the same age and the same grade and nobody questions that.
I was just watching Big Mouth last night and saying to myself, but it's in the lyrics of the opening sequence. They're going through changes, but then nobody changes. Like, sure, the characters kind of change emotionally, but nobody changes physically. But it's also very much supposed to be about going through physical changes.
Yeah. It's just like cop out of like just being a cartoon. Like, you can't expect it to function as real life because it's not, in terms of aging and time. Like, we also see in Rick and Morty character development and all of them growing in different ways emotionally and their relationships and everything, but I think that's just separate from, like, Morty's still like a 14-year-old and that's not gonna change, and we shouldn't think too much about it. That's
couldn't agree more. That being said, I would really, really, really like to see one of these big primetime cartoons start breaking those rules that we've seen with, like, The Simpsons and Family Guy and all of these other cartoons where the characters just stay the same and it's episodic and nothing ever really changes. I would love to see a cartoon series where they grow up semi-realistically in terms of the timeline.
I would love to see that too.
That'd be fascinating.
Yeah. It would be fascinating. That would be so much fun.
And this would have been a good series to break that, to break the ice on that. But I think it's gone a little too far now. That'd be a choice you'd have to make from the beginning. Or you got to be real fancy about writing yourself out of a corner.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah. I thought so. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good show.
It's a fucking good show.
It is.
So.
That's all I got.
Ah. Okay, great. That was fun. Oh my God, we finished season one.
Hey, season one.
Just check that out.
We did it.
We did it.
100 years, Rick and Morty. 105. RickandMorty.com. WubbleUpPodPod. Yeah. Rocka, rocka, doo doo, whatever that phrase is.
Pod pod. Boop boop.
Nooba nub nub. Rocka shoe.
Skip it up.
Fra. Yeah. Podcast. All right.
Okay.
Don't forget to review us on iTunes. It's easily, hands down, the best thing you can do to help our algorithm get us out there, get people listening to us, make us popular. If you'd like to help us out financially, you can head on over to patreon.com/wubbleupapodpod. We have three different tiers, I do believe. Do you want to go down that list of what they are, Alex?
Sure. Tier one is you will become a Morty. But let me just tell you, it's a $1.
You get exclusive video of the podcast, a live stream reminder. The Rick's tier is $3. You get exclusive video, a live stream reminder, 15% off. Is it 15% or 10? 10% off merch.
10.
And then on the $5, the Rickest Rick's tier, you get exclusive video, live stream reminders, and another extra 5% off of merch on top of that. and exclusive downloadable content made by yours truly, Alex.
Me, Alex. Huzzah.
Woo.
Yay.
You can check us out on our website at webbleupapodpod.com, or I'm sorry, webbleupapod.com. I still got to work out those the domain issues there. You can buy merch. We have merch. We have t-shirts and mugs and something else. I forget what. Stickers, definitely stickers. Head on over to www.beerwithbuffy.com/shop. That's our sister podcast.
Yay.
You can follow us on Instagram at WubbleUpAPodPod, Twitter, I'm sorry, X, at WubbleUpAPodPod, TikTok, WubbleUpAPodPod, twitch.tv/WubbleUpAPodPod. Our host is Podbean, WubbleUpAPodPod. And we're on all your favorite podcast platforms such as Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever. You can, if you ever have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can contact us at wubblelubapodpod@gmail.com. And as always, a big shout out to Benjamin Alexander for all of our opening, closing, and transitional music.
This has been Wubblelubapodpod. Season 1, wrap up. What's up, bitches, motherfuckers? I am Alex.
I'm Josh.
Have a good day. See you for season 2.
Bye.
Allowances for your years, but I expect a certain amount of responsibility, and instead of which you enslave yourself to this cult.
You don't like the color?
You have a sacred birthright. You were chosen to destroy vampires, not to wave pom-poms at people.
Why can't you people just leave me alone?
Done. Why are we watching this?